Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Song Dying Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Really quickly, before we jump into things, some show notes. If you're looking for some wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight you have WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, SCW in Bremerton, Washington, where I will be later this evening, PSW in Piedmont, Alabama, MPW in Kissimmee, Florida, APW in Royston, Georgia, NOW in Irvine, California, AIWF in Franklin, Ohio, TWA in San Antonio, Texas. Tomorrow night, NWWA returning for the first time in a long time to Milwaukee, Oregon, PWA in Jasper, Alabama, RCP in Newark, Delaware, Santino Brothers in Southgate, California, NEW in Golden, Colorado, NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana, KZW in Somerset, Kentucky, WCCW in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, MMWA in St. Louis, Missouri, IWF in Nutley, New Jersey, NWA in Wilmington, North Carolina, WAR in Lima, Ohio, NWA in Buda, Texas, AIWF in Princeton, West Virginia, MEW in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, SAW in Maryville, Tennessee, NECW in Hampstead, New Hampshire, ECPW in Sterling, New Jersey, and Gold Rush Pro Wrestling in American Canyon High School tomorrow night. Without further ado, speaking of Gold Rush Pro Wrestling, I would like to welcome our guest to the show. She is Thunder Rosa. Miss Rosa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much for having me in your show.
Our pleasure to have you. Now, since it's your first time on our show, we're going to give you our traditional first-timers question so we can get acquainted with you. What got you into this business of professional wrestling?
Well, I needed something in my life that was different than working a regular job, and I mean, I consider myself a different person. I'm pretty out there. So, I just went on a tryout at APW at the old garage in Hayward, California, and I got fifth place. And ever since then, I was like, okay, this is happening. I'm going to become a wrestler. So I started volunteering as ring girl, you know, picking people's stuff. And it just started getting involved like that, you know, before I started training, because I wanted to, like, you know, earn my way up there. So by the time that I just first started, you know, getting in the ring, people already knew who I was. So that's how I started.
And when you start out as a ring girl, are you going out there studying the matches? Are you paying attention to what they're doing in the ring, or are you focused more on what job they gave you to do and trying to just be a ring girl until you get further training?
You know what? It was really interesting because I did not know anything about pro wrestling. You know, I mean, I watched Lucha in Mexico, which is, like, psychology is completely different. And when I was watching the shows, like, I was trying to, like, learn the moves because I didn't know the names of any of them. You know, so I would be, like, watching some stuff, and then my friends will be like, oh, this is that, and then I'll be like, every time the guys hit a move, I will be repeating, oh, that's a move, oh, is that move, oh, is that move, so that's how I started learning. Then once I started becoming a student of wrestling, then I started paying more attention on transitions and things like that. But, yeah, definitely being, you know, on the sidelines before I started wrestling, it really made me realize the complexity of a match. You know, I paid a lot of attention and, like, the passion that some of the guys had when they had these matches. I think one of the people that I loved watching the most was Drake Younger. He was really popular when I started doing volunteer work there as a ring girl. And I just love how they used to hype their matches before, you know, with the promos, the 20-minute promos and, like, the storylines and everything. And then, you know, asking questions to Roland Alexander when we had the chance to be in the car with him really opened my eyes to many different things that, you know, I feel like some girls that start in the business don't get to see because they don't start it like I did.
You mentioned Drake Younger being an influence on you. He, of course, now at NXT. Do you think having someone like a Drake Younger that is now working with the largest company in the world is going to make things easier for you because you've got that connection to someone that's been everywhere, knows a lot of people, and is somewhat influential in the business?
Yeah, you know what? Not really. I think it comes down to the time and effort you put in. I mean, you can use it as a reference, but, I mean, I know a lot of people that were, I mean, I don't want to brag about it, but it sounds like I'm bragging about it, but that have been influential in the business, and they know a lot of people inside the business. And honestly, like, if I get the opportunity to work in the WWE, I would like for it to be because of my own merit, you know, because I earn it, because I was able to impress them enough for them to give me a chance. And, yeah, like, I will use them as a reference, but me personally, just kind of even my personal life, I don't like to use other people like that. You know what I'm saying?
I can understand completely. Now, someone like yourself is unique in that you do a lot of lucha style as well as the American style. Not a lot of people, especially on the female side of things, utilize both. What's it like being able to go back and forth between the lucha style and the American style?
It's fun, you know, because it's not like, you know, I know, like, typical, this is going to happen. It's just like, it's a different style that I want to make sure that when people hear about Thunder Rosa, she's like, oh, yeah, she can go. She can do both. She can do Japanese style, too. Like, I can do everything. I want to be that type of worker in where people will respect me for what I do. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, for some people, it's hard because, you know, in Japan and in America, we work differently. But because I'm able to do both, I just feel more confident in the ring. And I feel more confident that I will be able to put a really good match, even if it could be with whoever they could, I can work with them. And that's a more important thing because I will be able to put them over, you know, to have a great match.
Like you said, it's very different going from lucha to American. A lot of people have a hard time transitioning. Do you find in your matches that sometimes you get a little bit thrown off on which style you're trying to do and confuse not only yourself, but sometimes your opponent?
I mean, it depends on the opponent. When, like, especially like when I work with Atura, she's mainly lucha. So we try to do everything, you know, or at least half and half. Half lucha, half American, you know. With all my other opponents, I stick, especially the American, I stick to the American style. When I work in Japan, I got to mix it up because the demands are different, you know. So you just have to adapt. Like, that's the only way that people can be successful in life is if you adapt to your situation.
For the American-style opponents that you have that don't really do lucha, do you do things in there that kind of confuse them as far as things that they aren't anticipating or expecting out of you?
I mean, it depends on the opponent, you know. It depends on the experience that they have had. Especially like when we do like holds, certain holds that are very like specific, traditional lucha holds, like that's something that you can work into the match. But if it's more like intricate, you know, like any type of like arm drag or things like that, that's more difficult. But I try to stick on like on the basics, you know. But we can still have a good match.
I know in your career so far, and it's not too far into your career by any means, you've worked on a lot of different shows, so you've been to a lot of different places. What's been your favorite venue so far, a place that made a show really memorable for you that you enjoyed going to?
And I was listening today. To Finn Balor and Derek, when they were talking about Kirk and Hall. Definitely Kirk and Hall is magical. For me, I will die to go back there and have a match. You know, it was always like so special because it's been so many different people from so many different parts of the world that have stepped on that ring, you know, and they have had absolutely amazing matches. And just to be able to do that a couple times and like touring Japan was a blessing. I think every time I go there, every time I was there, I was kind of like, oh my God. It's amazing.
Kirk and Hall,
my favorite.
On the flip side of that, without having to necessarily bury anybody or any place, what's been the strangest venue where you've had to perform?
That's an interesting one. I will say like I don't know, man. A club where there's only like five people there.
Five spectators?
Yeah, like five spectators. There's more wrestlers than spectators, yeah.
I've been there before myself. That's always a unique situation.
Yeah. I mean, it was still fine. I have really good matches, but, you know, it's kind of weird because you're kind of like, come on, let's go, and, like, you can hear crickets, you know.
Now, when you go to a show and there's more people on your side of the curtain than the other side of the curtain, what's your mindset like? Do you change your approach to the match, or do you go out there and perform the same way that you would have if there were 10 times that many people?
You perform the same way. I mean, I'm a professional. Just because if we only have one spectator or 1,000 or 5,000, that person deserves the same treatment that the other 5,000 people will get, you know? I mean, they came to see us and they paid to see us, so, like, you know, I'll put the same show for them.
Now, I know you've not been in the business for a very long time, but what are some of the things that you have learned so far as when you're in a locker room and it's not always, you know, the greatest of accommodations? How do you as a female try to make it as professional a setting as possible? What tips have you learned to try to maintain that professionalism when it is kind of a awkward locker room setting at a venue?
Well, first of all, you know, you got to be polite to everybody. If a veteran sits in certain place, you got to ask, you know, if you can sit there or not, you just give it to the person. Be clean all the time. Clean after yourself. You know, that's very, very important. And I guess, like, you know, we don't have, like, usually I'm, like, the one of the very few females. But a lot of the guys were, like, just make sure you always bring a towel with you so you can change. I mean, because you have to change in front of the guys. So it's not like everybody's burping on you. And also, like, keeping your mouth shut and not complain about things because, you know, people don't like people complaining. And it just, like, gives you a bad rep. So that's been the main thing. Just always be polite and shake everybody's hand.
Were you actually taught that, or was that something that you had to learn on your own from going to shows and observing it early?
Well, you know, my parents always taught me that when you come to a place, I mean, this is like very Mexican, you have to say hi to everybody and you have to say goodbye to everybody. So I already had that. So when I went to some of the shows with my friends that were, you know, you gotta shake everybody's hand. But the, with the, given the C2, the veteran, I learned it by experience because I made that mistake before. I sat on somebody's feet and that person was just like, looked at me and were like, you gotta move. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, that's my feet. I've been sitting there for like such and such years. And I was like, oh, well, I wish somebody would have told me. I thought that. I was like, yeah, of course, sir. And I moved, you know. No questions asked. Just that sign of respect, you know. They've been there before I did, and I just have to show that respect. And yeah, I mean, that's part of business, you know. And then it also helps you because that will you gain respect. Everybody, oh, yeah, she's always very respectful. She always says hi. She always says goodbye. You know, she always asks for this and this and that and that. And, you know, but yeah, that's how I learned some stuff.
Have you also had the opportunity where you carry someone's bags for them, which is also a tradition in wrestling as a sign of respect?
Like when I was a ring girl, I did that a lot for a lot of people, carry their stuff. In Japan, I tried to do that as much as I could with, you know, even with some of the girls that get young, the young girls, like if they want to carry my stuff, I will never let them do that because I was a young girl too. So, and then I will carry some other people's stuff. And I always do it, you know, as a sign of respect.
So far in your career, have you come across any injury issues? Like, everybody gets the occasional bump and bruise, but have you had any significant injury that you've had to overcome so far?
I got a knee injury. This is like my 7 month training, so I was out for like 6 weeks, and I still feel like the pain on that knee. I got the concussion in Japan. I was out for a whole month. I think those have been the most serious ones, and like back problems, because I wasn't doing things right, so I was out for like also like 6 weeks. It was very painful, but other than that, knock on wood, you know, I've been listening to my trainers and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But I mean, that's gonna happen. That's part of the business.
Concussions are something that has been in the news in wrestling for the last couple of years because medical science is learning more and more about them and how serious they truly are. What's your feelings on concussions in wrestling, especially on the independent wrestling circuit?
It's just dangerous. I was really scared because I never in my life had a concussion. I mean, I hit my head and stuff, but I never felt the way that it feels. And then, you know, when your doctor tells you that you need to stay out, you need to stay out. When I was out for four weeks, I was actually talking to one of my friends here in the States. His name is Steve Scott, the selfie guy in the East Coast, and he had a really severe concussion and where he was out for 6 months. You know, and he was giving me really, really good advice about staying off, you know, the ring, because you can re-injure yourself so bad in a way where you won't be able to come back, you know. And, like, you know, all these people that die because of it, you know, and, like, just they just get crazy. And, like, they lose it later on in life. It's pretty dangerous. Like, I think people need to, like, get more serious. But because we're in a business and we got to be tough and, you know, we got to show how tough and, like, how much heart we have. Like, we don't want to give up. But, you know, when it comes to brain injuries, you have to give yourself some time.
Have you ever been in a match and your opponent suffered a concussion or concussion-like symptoms?
No. Not yet.
I would recommend trying to avoid that if possible.
Yes, definitely.
In wrestling, there's a phenomenon. I don't know if you've ever come across it, but I've talked to several people and I've witnessed it. If someone gets a head injury, not necessarily a concussion, but oftentimes it is a mild or moderate concussion, the person in the match will not remember anything in the match, but they'll have almost a perfect match. Nothing in the match goes wrong. It goes exactly how they wanted to go, but yet they don't remember doing the match. Have you ever been on a show and witnessed that phenomenon?
I have not been in a show where that happened, but I've been in, like, my friends have told me, like, oh, yeah, I had this great match, but I can't remember half of it, you know? So, I haven't seen it, but, you know, I've seen some of my friends that have had recurrent concussions, and they continue to wrestle, and, like, at the end of the matches, they have really good matches, but at the end of the matches, you can see, like, they're pretty beat up, you know, and, like, it just reminds you how fragile the human body is.
Another big hot topic in wrestling in the last few years has been the issue of blood. A lot of promotions have tried to stay away from having any blood on their shows because of all the diseases and so forth that can be transmitted. There's still a few hardcore promotions out there that see a lot of blood on every show, but they're not as common anymore. What's your personal feelings on blood in wrestling?
Well, I mean, accidents happen and you will bleed, right? So I think that, for me, that's okay, but I'm not the hugest fan of blood in general. One time I remember, I was actually watching Nurse Younger versus Rib Wasabi and Hood Slam, and they had a death match. And I remember Rib was, like, just squirting blood everywhere. And this chick, she was, like, super, like, I don't know what she was on, but she was, like, touching the rib and his blood, and I was freaking out. It was just like, oh, my God, this is something else. I mean, it is interesting to watch it, but me personally, I don't like to be around blood. I mean, I work with, I work with clients that have mental health issues, and sometimes I have to deal with really, like, weird and nasty stuff, so it's like, anything that reminds me to work, I'm like, no, I don't want to be around it at all.
Have you ever been busted open in one of your matches personally?
No, knock on wood, no, not yet.
Again, I don't actually recommend it, but if so, super glue is something to carry in your gear bag at all times.
You know what? I'm going to do that now that you're telling me. Oh, I just can't. Oh, the pain afterwards. Oh.
A little bit of super glue works wonders, so.
I'll make sure I have that this week. I'm going to need it.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he also has some questions for you, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sanjay. Hello, Thunder Rosa.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I am good. I just got home from a long road trip from Vancouver where I was working the Daily Grind. Yes.
Nice.
Well, Thunder, I saw your YouTube video called Thunder Rosa versus Sage Sin Supreme at AWS Wrestling on September 26, 2015. Now, this match took place in Southgate, California for Alternative a Wrestling Show. One of my questions is, what was Sage Sin Supreme carrying a jack-o'-lantern to the ring for when it was only September?
Well, that's her character. She loves Halloween, so she celebrates Halloween like every day.
Oh, okay.
Every day.
Now, what do they call? Okay. What do they call Halloween in Mexico?
The thing, Halloween. No, actually, no, I'm lying. I'm like, well, we call it Halloween, but it's Dia de las Brujas. It's like the Day of the Witches.
Oh, I thought loosely translated into the Day of the Souls or something.
No, it's like Dia de las Brujas or Halloween. But I'm from Tijuana, so like we're pretty Americanized, so we say Halloween. But it's Dia de las Brujas.
Now, Thunder, are you, now the announcer said that you were from Tijuana, Mexico, but you had a Japanese-style kimono on. Did someone at a Mexican bullfight give you a red kimono?
No, actually, it wasn't from Mexico. It was one of the fans, but he's a huge fan of Olero Tai, which is the heel group of Stardom. So he gave us one to each member with our names on it. So that's why I wear that. Just to, remind me of the rebirth of Thunder Rosa, because she was reborn again in Japan.
Ooh, reborn in Japan. Oh, okay. Are you a big fan of the movie Kill Bill?
I watch the movies, but I'm not like a super like, oh my God, I love Kill Bill. Like, yeah. They're fun. They're fun to watch.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, is it your goal to one day run with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain, of which two known Northwest wrestlers have done?
That's pretty – I like to run, but, I don't want to be, running because I know I'm going to die because the bulls are coming after me. I've seen so many videos of those, and I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
Well, I don't know. Now, judging on how you took care of yourself in the Thunder Rosa versus Sage Sin Supreme match, I think if you sensed that a bull was about to run you over, or you had just a little bit of space but the bull was gaining on you, you could just turn around and flex, and I'd be scared if I was a bull. Yes.
I hope so. I hope I'm not wearing red when the bull comes, because then I'm dead.
Oh, yes. You don't want to wear red like your kimono, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, you said that you did like to run. Can you take us through a typical daily workout of your aerobics? Do you use an inclined treadmill, or do you run any 5Ks?
I used to run 5Ks, and I used to do a lot of running before, but then I started doing, trying to put on weight. You got to, limit the amount of cardio that you do, especially, me being so small, I lose weight really quickly. So right now I'm doing Stairmaster, and, for 20 minutes, and it's, 20, so I'm, by the end of it, I'm, completely dead, and then I do 45 minutes to an hour of less weight, and then if I have time, I do this workout from free workout from the Spartan Race. They send you a daily workout, and it's very, very intense calisthenics.
Wow, all right, not bad. Very good. Now, did you used to run track and field in high school?
No. Believe it or not, I didn't do sports when I was young.
Oh, okay. But you did run after high school a few road races, 5,000-meter road races?
I think I ran a couple, 5Ks with kids that I used to work with in the community. And then I used to do a lot of running because after school. So that was my running right there. And soccer.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Thunder, the phenomenon of thunder is often incorporated in tropical storms and hurricanes. We recently had a hurricane strike the Bahamas and then skirt the East Coast, dumping huge amounts of rain on South Carolina. The Weather Center had the projected path on the screen, but there was a wide cone of uncertainty. viewers of the Weather Channel expressed their displeasure at the wide cone of uncertainty that at one time was as wide as 600 miles. Have you yourself ever heard of any female lucha wrestler having a high-risk aerial maneuver called the cone of uncertainty? Yes.
No, but maybe I should just take that on and make it my own.
Yes. You at Turnbuckle Turmoil would like one of our interviewers to have a maybe just call do a maneuver called a cone of uncertainty incorporated by Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Maybe I'm gonna do that.
You are? Oh, this is huge, Sign Bay. Now, may I suggest, Thunder, that perhaps you might take off from the top turnbuckle with a tomahawk chop or maybe an elbow drop like Randy Savage used to do and call it the Turnbuckle Turmoil Cone of Uncertainty.
I was thinking more like a lucha. Like a lucha move from the third rope, something like.
Uh-huh.
Either or, that would be interesting. The turn, yeah, I like it.
Oh boy, I hope you get this on YouTube. Yes.
Now we'll yell the corner and see.
Wow, okay, that's fantastic. That'd be like the Turnbuckle Turmoil uncertainty cone. That sounds better. All right. Well, Thunder, do you consider yourself a student of women's wrestling history? And how well would you do on TV's game show Jeopardy if they brought up women's wrestling history with the Daily Double?
Jesus. I don't know, man. I'm like, if they ask for names, I am so bad at names. Like, I have to, like, see their face. Like, it takes me sometimes, like, 3 or 5 times to see the same picture to, like, memorize a name because I just cannot remember things for the life of me.
Okay. All right. Well, how fast could you make Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy, tap out if you got him in an MMA hold?
I don't know. It depends how strong he is and how much fight he has.
Well, he does seem to keep himself in pretty good shape, and I'm sure he's over 62 years old.
I mean, he looks pretty tough. I mean, he looks pretty good for his age. So, 15? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I bet you could make Vanna White, the letter turner, tap out pretty quick on Jeopardy. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, Thunder, what do you think about WWE's Brie Bella's 290-plus day reign as women's champ? She had held the title, wait a second. I don't know if she still holds the title or not, but she's had the longest reign ever. Brie Bella.
Yeah. That's a really good question, and I would like to say a lot of stuff, but, you know, I'm gonna keep it politically correct. Well, you know, she was, and she still, her and her sister are very marketable, so it just makes sense for the WWE to, like, keep them, you know, present in the division, and now with this whole, like, diva revolution where they're trying to push the new blood to the business. You know, they had, I think Charlotte has the championship now, but, and they got to do what they got to do. So, I just didn't like the match before Charlotte took the championship because it was, I mean, I knew what was going to happen because I saw, like, both of them wearing the same kind of hair. And I was like, yeah, something's going to happen like that. But, you know, that was the storyline. And I don't know. Maybe now with the new girls in town, things will be different, but who knows? You know, the writers are the ones who have the last say at the end of the day.
Is it your goal one day to be a WWE writer?
Not a writer. I mean, I would like to work as a wrestler. I would like to be more in production. I love production. I really enjoy putting things together, you know, like putting shows together, promoting and stuff like that. So production will be something that I will also like to do if I can't, you know, make it as a wrestler.
Oh, okay, kind of like production. Now, for me, Thunder, a pivotal moment in WWE history occurred when on Monday Night Raw they had the Muppets on. And one of my favorite moments in WWE was when Sheamus interacted with Beaker. Is that something you'd like to do in the future? Combine animation with wrestling.
I mean, I would love to work with the Muppets too, you know, because they're so funny. That show was so funny. I remember watching that show.
Well,
I like Animal. Animal and I, we can be like BFFs because we're both crazy.
Oh, you like Animal. Okay. Well, I have a Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment for you. There's a YouTube video I want you to watch. It's called Buddy Rich. He was a famous jazz drummer versus Animal in a drum off.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Buddy Rich is considered to be one of the five best ever to take up the drumsticks in the history of mankind. Buddy Rich.
Oh, I'm going to watch it as soon as I get home.
Hey, this is fantastic. Okay. We usually, Sign Guy and I usually try to give out Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignments. Yes.
Actually, I'm working on my other phone right now because I have two phones right now. So.
Oh, you got two phones. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Thunder, is there ever going to be a Thunder Rosa action figure or bobblehead?
There are. You know what? Thanks for asking me. So, yeah. One of our dear fans from Mexico, he's actually a action figure maker. He sent me a picture of two of my action figures that he designed and made. And he just made them so cute with one of my red gears and one of my black gears. And everybody's like, oh, my God, are you selling those? And I'm like, I would love to sell those. But the guy has not responded to me. So, but I do. They're out there in Mexico City, and I'm waiting for the guy to place an order. So if you guys want one, you know where to find me.
Oh, wow. Now, how much would they go for?
I think they're going to go for $20.
Oh, that's not a bad price, $20. Okay. All right, $20 plus shipping. That sounds very good. Okay. Well, Thunder, do you believe parents today are being too protective of their children? Just recently, a high school in America decided to shut down their high school football program because of the threat to injuries to high school kids. And the youth football program in America is starting to suffer participation-wise. Do you believe there's too much emphasis placed on helicopter parents and their overall protection of their kids?
You know what? The interesting thing is that, you know, parents can protect their kids, like, when they're little like that. But then once they get older, the kids find their way to find something as dangerous or even worse than football. Like, for example, my parents were like, never let me play soccer, which, you know, soccer also is kind of dangerous because you can suffer from concussions, like broken bones and stuff like that. And, like, now that I'm older, I'm, like, a pro wrestler, you know, which is, like, even worse than soccer. So now they're like, oh, my God, we don't want you to do that anymore. And I'm just like, well, guess what? Too bad, because I am making my own money and I make my own decisions. So sorry, guys. So I think it's like, I mean, they can be, like I said, as protective as they want. But, I mean, in other aspects, like, they're not really protecting them from everything. They can get, you know, engaged in other activities that are not, you know, physically as dangerous. But they can start using, you know, drugs or other stuff because they don't have something like an activity that will keep them occupied.
Now, speaking of making some fair, good money and stuff, there's always the horror story of wrestlers on the independent circuit being shafted and not paid by promoters that skip out of paying the bill. Have you come across any promoters while you've been wrestling that have skipped out and paying you?
Not yet. Not yet. And I'm very specific of, you know, of my PO and how I handle business. But I've seen some of my friends that have worked really, really hard, you know, that they have even gotten injured during the show. And then when it's the time to pay, they have gotten fired from the show. The guy never paid them, you know. So it's like, it's really sad to see that, because those, some of those guys, they were really like, they had their hearts and minds in that show or in those shows, and they are not getting the respect that they deserve, you know. But you know, some of my friends, they, if they don't get paid, they go and chase the booker so they can get their money, you know. It's, I think it's, we're all professionals. I mean, at least I consider myself a professional, so I expect the same professionalism from the people that I'm working with. And if I don't get that, I won't work for that person anymore. You know, well, because I'm putting a lot on the line.
Yes, yes, you are. Yes. For instance, if you do decide to get on YouTube and do the Turnbuckle Turmoil move from the cone of uncertainty, one slip and then you could hurt yourself. Yes.
I hope not.
So yes, you did put yourself out there. Yes. All we're saying is that we hope you do the Turnbuckle Turmoil cone of uncertainty at the lowest risk.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Well, right, we're wondering, are you a big fan of Shikara wrestling?
Shikara? I watch some stuff online, and they're getting popular again, somewhat.
Okay. Is it true you were a big fan of Adam Copeland or Edge?
Edge? I like Edge.
Yes.
He's fun. Yeah. Really, really fun. I love his promos. I love his moveset. He was really good back when then. And when I started watching American Wrestling, he was one of the guys I used to watch because he was so funny. I like the angle that he had with Vicky Guerrero. Oh, my God.
Oh,
they used to
yeah.
make me laugh so much. That was the greatest.
Did you
nasty.
Like it when Eddie Guerrero used to drive his car down to the ring?
Oh, my God. I used to hate Eddie Guerrero. I thought he was like the... Because I didn't really know that whole history of the Guerreros, but he was, like always bragging about himself and stuff like that. Oh, my God. I was like, who is this guy? Like, he's a cheater, you know. He was just like, oh, my God, I couldn't stand him. But now I love him because he was so good. He was so good in everything he did, his promos and everything. I like when he was with, when he was doing the angle with Rey Mysterio. And then they brought the
yes.
little kid and stuff, and he's like hugging the little kid, and he has like this evil eyes and the evil smile. I was like, oh my God, it's so like Hollywood. Great, no, this is such a soap opera right now. Great.
Well, which car would you rather have ridden in? Which car was better styling? Eddie Guerrero's lowrider or JBL's Cadillac with the horns on the front?
No, I gotta be the lowrider, man. You gotta be the lowrider.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, here's a question that I have never asked and or have heard on Turnbuckle Turmoil before. How did you hear of Turnbuckle Turmoil? Did you hear about it before Sign Guy contacted you?
I have. We were listening to a couple of podcasts before, you know, and then we were contacted. But
you remember which podcasts or episodes that you listen to?
No, I just listen to too many because I'm always on the road, so it's kind of hard for me to remember all of them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Thunder, have you ever had to use your wrestling skills far away from the arena in a non-wrestling situation, out in the public, on the street, to put a would-be mugger in his or her place?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, the funny part is, like, before I became a wrestler, I actually had to do holds on kids because I used to work in a school where kids have a lot of behavioral issues, so we had to restrain the kids in a very safe way, just like how we do it in wrestling, right? You hold those holds really tight without hurting the person. So, but now I don't do that. I don't think I will do that.
Okay. So. All right. Now, do you prefer tag team or a singles competition?
It depends on who I'm working with. Like, when I was working tag team with Starfire in Japan, it was really easy because she's been working for, like, 8 years, and she'll have, like, we'll watch some footage, lucha footage, and we'll be like, oh, we want to do that. Oh, we want to do that. And now it's like I'm working tag team with Datura. So it's, again, lucha, so it will be – we can do really cool stuff, and since I'm, like, the smallest all the time, I'm the one who's, like, always, like, splashing on people or, like, doing DDTs or doing some the cool moves. And now I can do the cone of uncertainty, you know. I ask that we have to, like, toss me in the air, and I'll be like, cone of uncertainty. I'll hit it.
Oh, boy. We certainly look forward to that. Okay. Well, Thunder, do you hope to manage some wrestlers when you decide not to wrestle anymore and put the boots in the ring for the final time?
Can you repeat that question again?
Do you hope to manage one day when you decide to unlace the boots for a final time?
I already did that.
Yeah.
I managed so many people. Let me think. Rick Luxury, he's like a big name here in Northern California. Kaka Meng, which was, I think, one of the first ones who was like, oh, I want you to manage me. Your money. He's saying that, and I'm like, what do you mean that money? He's like, well, you'll see, girl. So he's from BPW. Dylan Drake is my coach. Body Royal is one of the guys from Southern California. God, who else I have managed? I don't know. I think I've managed, like, a lot of people. Those are one of the few that I can think of. But being a manager before I became a wrestler actually helped me, you know, in my knowing my whereabouts in the ring. So, but it's like at one point I decide that I don't want to wrestle anymore. I would definitely would like to do that, or ring announcing. I think ring announcing is pretty fun. So I enjoy anything that has to do with being in a public eye.
Were you and are you still a big fan of Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Yeah, somewhat. It's like, for me, it's really hard, like, to go back and watch a bunch of the stuff because I don't even have time to watch it anymore. I would like to watch more of his videos.
Okay. All right.
But Sherry Martel is my favorite.
Oh, Sherry Martel, yes.
She's so funny. Honestly, like, they call me the Mexican Sherry Martel when I used to manage people, because I was just as loud as she was, and, like, you know, facial expressions are, like, promos were classic, and, you know, like, how creative she was.
Yeah. Yes, Sherry Martel, one of the best, yes. Well, now you said that you managed this one wrestler, Big Luxury. How big of a guy is he? Does he go 6'4", 300 pounds?
No, his name is Rick, R-I-K, Luxury. But
oh, okay,
like,
Rick Luxury, okay.
Yeah, he's one of the big veterans here in Northern California.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Thunder, have you ever wrestled in Canada, Wisconsin, Chicago, or Michigan?
No, but if anybody is listening right now, I'm open for bookings in any of those places.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, at this moment, I'm going to give it back to Sign Guy, and I hope you enjoy the video homework assignment, Buddy Rich versus Animal.
All right. Oh, it was very nice talking to you.
Yes, good talking with you, and I hope we can talk with you again. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, and like I will keep that moving on. So I'll just have to like develop the move and then put it on YouTube so I can find you guys.
Okay, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Ms. Rosa, we have a few minutes left in the show, so I want to give you that time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the people listening today, plug and promote absolutely anything you want, upcoming appearances, social medias, merchandise, your favorite ice cream shop, anything at all that you would like. Floor is all yours.
Okay, so I would like to start by saying thank you to you guys for allowing me to be in the show. It was really fun. It was definitely different from, like, most of the podcasts that I've done. And also, I just want to remind everybody that we have the ladies from Stardom USA coming to California on October 16 and 18 in Covina and Belmont. The tickets are on sale online on Eventbrite. The information is on my Facebook page. Also, like you mentioned earlier, I will be at the Gold Rush for Wrestling in American Canyon tomorrow, Lucha VIP in Pico Rivera, which is in L.A., which against Shotzi Blackheart. She was one of them from Tough Enough. Then on the 24th, I will be at Gold Rush for Wrestling in Pacifica, California, October 30th, and All Pro Wrestling, Daly City, against Holy Dead from Knox Pro. And October 31st, our RCW in Louisiana. So we have a very, very busy October. And definitely, like I said, it will be an honor. I know that a bunch of the fans have contacted me already that they will be traveling to L.A. to watch the very, very first Joshi show in the West Coast, which is Stardom. And also, I want to put this announcement for all the ladies that are working really hard here in the United States. Stardom USA is looking for guiding wrestlers that they will like to go and take to Japan. So if you guys are interested, go on divadirt.com and fill out an application. The Stardom USA president, cheerleader Melissa, will be, you know, checking all the applications, and you'll be receiving a call if they are interested. So if your dream is to go to Japan and be in one of the best Joshi Pro Wrestling companies, which is Stardom, please make sure you apply. It's, for me, definitely changed my life, and it changed my outlook on wrestling, made me a more confident person and a better wrestler. So I would love to share this with any person that works just as hard as I do, because it will change your life, and it will make it, like I said, if your dream is to go to Japan, it will make your dreams come true. It's an amazing experience. So, yeah, I just want to thank everybody that has been supporting me. I'm on Facebook, on my like page, Thunder Rosa, on Instagram, at Thunder Rosa 22, and on Twitter, the same, at Thunder Rosa 22. I also have my webpage, ThunderRosa.com. And if you guys want any of my merch, I'm selling new shirts. I have rings. I have bracelets. I have 8x10s. And any other stuff that you like would like to get, please send me a message, a private message on Facebook. I respond pretty quickly to all my messages and to all my fans. My favorite ice cream parlor is in Concord, California. Really delicious, right across the street from Santos, Soto Santos, Park, and I'm always on the road, always, always. So, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, yes.
It's definitely our pleasure to have you. We'd love to have you back in the future, and bump safely and safe travels as you continue on with your career.
Thank you so much for having, like I said, it's just a pleasure to be in your show. It's amazing. I had a lot of fun.
All right, fans, if you've not checked out Thunder Rosa, jump on YouTube, look up some footage. If she's on a show near you, go buy a ticket. Well worth watching her. She's going to be a star in this business, I believe. So get on the bandwagon early. get out there, support all the local independent wrestling. I will be at Bremerton, Washington in just a few hours, SCW. We got Chaz Taylor coming in from Texas. Kevin Sullivan going to be there tonight. Should be an absolutely huge show. Support the local independents. We will talk to you Sunday afternoon. We have former WCW and TNA ring announcer Dave Penzer with us on Sunday. Should be a great time, and we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.